appreciate what's gone before. Appreciate, as Tim has said, the opportunity to be here. I think I mentioned on Friday night, this was the first place after I had joined the church there at Zion and was liberated to preach that Tim and I got to preach together, not only as brothers in Christ, but as natural brothers. And what a blessing it is to be able to share the pulpit with my natural brother, and to be able to worship with him and his family, and our families to be united on the things of God. I also am always amazed when the Lord leads us in similar directions. I had said to myself already that if he got up here this morning and started preaching on Hosea, that I was just going to get up and walk out. Well, he didn't get up and start preaching on Hosea, but he preached about chastening, which is part of what I want to preach about this morning, out of the book of Hosea. So if you'll turn there to the book of Hosea, I want to preach to you this morning about a harlot, a husband, and a happy home. A harlot, a husband, and a happy home. You see, the book of Hosea is a book which deals with those three things. It is a book that we can apply to ourselves, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in about verse 6 or 7, it says the things that were written of the nation of Israel were written for our examples, that we should not lust after the things they lusted after. And so, you know, often through my early life as a child of God, trying to even preach the word, I miss the point that the Old Testament had so many direct applications to us today. But oh, it does, beloved. Don't miss the fact that today, like Israel of old, literal Israel, we are the spiritual Israel. We are the kingdom of God on earth. Yes, it's a spiritual kingdom, but it's manifest in its visible form in the church of the living God. Now, there's a sense in which every single elect child of God, wherever they may be, is in the kingdom of God. And one day the church triumphant will be delivered up. The kingdom will be delivered up to the Lord himself by the Lord Jesus Christ as the church triumphant. But today we are the church militant. We are still here in this world fighting battles daily, trying to serve the Lord in even feeble ways sometimes. So this morning, as we think about this harlot and this husband and this happy home, they don't seem to go together, do they? You know, most of the time when you have a man who's married to a woman who's not faithful to him, that's not a very happy home, is it? Oh, but let's look and see what God has for us in this book of Hosea. The word of the Lord, chapter 1 and verse 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Now, the historical setting of this book is important. He's prophesying about the same time as Micah, about the same time as Isaiah, and about the same time as Amos. And there's a time here when the nation of Israel is having problems. Now, outwardly, now remember also, there's two nations. There's the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. Israel is the northern kingdom. Judah is the southern kingdom. Judah was made up of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and it was based in Jerusalem. That was the capital city. Samaria was the capital city of Israel, and it was made up of the other 10 tribes. There was only ever four kings of the United Kingdom of Israel. It was Saul, David, Solomon, and for a brief time, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. After that time, it split into two, and of course, the ultimate result of the northern kingdom, they never had a faithful king. Jeroboam was their first king, and they never had a faithful king in the northern kingdom that was doing the things that they should be doing and following the law of God. So in about 722 BC, the Assyrians carried them captive and dispersed them throughout the world. They never came back. And of course, about 606 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah, it was carried captive into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar took them into Babylon, and they were there for 70 years. And then by the grace and mercy of God, they were allowed to come back. And of course, it was in this kingdom of Judah that Jesus Christ was born several hundred years later. But the point I'm making is this, is that at this time, both kingdoms are in existence. Both kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, sometimes it's called Ephraim, sometimes it's called Israel. But the northern kingdom of Israel is still in existence. It's before the Assyrians came in, and the southern kingdom as well. And in both places, this is a time of great outward prosperity. Okay, everything's going good economically. The economics are good. People are prospering in their jobs, and people are living well. But the problem is that inwardly, it's a time of great spiritual corruption and spiritual adultery. And God has a message for them. God has a message for them. And the first thing we read about in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, now listen, this is a message of God. Brother John Morgan mentioned it yesterday. And he said, normally this is not good advice for any of you young men, okay? Don't follow this advice unless the Lord just appears to you and says, this is what you should do. And let me just give you a little secret, let you in on a little secret. The Lord ain't going to do that, okay? The Lord doesn't appear today and give us new stuff. I heard it said one time that if the Lord were to speak out of heaven today, he'd just repeat something he's already said. We got all we need right here in the Word of God. But listen to what God said to Hosea. He said, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. He says, Hosea, you go marry a harlot. You go marry a woman that will not be faithful to you. You go marry a woman that's going to commit adultery on you. And the reason, of course, he's doing this is he's about to display something to the children of Israel in that day that could be most vividly displayed by this relationship between this husband and this harlot. So, what happened? Verse 3, he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. So there's going to be children of this relationship. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. Now these names are important, and we're going to come back to them in a minute. But I want you to, one thing I love about the Hebrew language and what you read in the Old Testament is these names mean something. It's not just a name they picked out of a hat, you know, and said, oh, I like the name, you know, Sarah. I like the name John. They have a name for these places and these people that means something. Jezreel, this name here means the Lord will sow. The Lord will, or sown of the Lord, okay? As if you sow a seed in the ground, okay? Now he says, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. He's already telling us a little bit about what's going to happen. And it shall come and pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Now, that's the first child. And according to what I read here, I believe this child is Hosea's son. He's his natural son, his legitimate son, okay? But notice in verse 6, when we read about these two other children, it doesn't say that Hosea took her and that she conceived, but it says that she conceived again. Okay? Now, most people I've read after, and my way of thinking about this, is that I believe these next two children were children of her whoredoms, children of her adultery. Okay? Now, listen to this. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto her, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Again, I said these names are important, and you're going to see why in a few minutes. Hopefully, we'll bring this back to a close, and you'll understand. But I want you to notice that the name of this child is Lo-Ruhamah. In the Hebrew language, the word lo is the same as our word no or not. If you see lo in front of something, that means it's not that. So the word Ruhamah means pitied or mercy. Now notice that it says her name is Lo-Ruhamah. And he goes on to tell us here, I'll no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. The name of this child literally is no mercy. No mercy or not pitied, okay? Not pitied. Verse 7, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. He's primarily preaching here to the northern kingdom and saying, okay, Israel, no more mercy. And then it says in verse 8, now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. And then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, or Lo-Ami. The word Ami means my people. And of course, the word Lo means not my people. And that's literally what the name of this child is Lo-Ami, not my people. He says, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. These last two probably weren't Hosea's children. Because remember, he married a harlot. He married a woman of adultery. He married a woman who was not going to be faithful to him. And we see this harlot here. This harlot who is a representative of the nation of Israel. And if you look at what she's doing, look down in chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, "Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife." You know what he's saying here? He just married her, so she is his wife. But what he's saying is she's not acting like my wife. And when a woman like this acts in that way, then she essentially is destroying the marriage. She is not my wife. Now, by the way, we're talking about a woman here. And I just want to make it clear, men, that we're not picking on the women. You can be just as much an adulterer as a woman can, and it's just as bad. I don't know, it may be worse, Brother Michael, because you men have the responsibility of leading the household. So, but notice, she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms from out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Notice that this woman is, because of her adulteries, the marriage is not a marriage. There is no fellowship, there is no relationship. And notice whose fault it is. You know, you don't have to turn there, but I've heard a preacher say one time, if you can quote it, fine, but if you can read it, read it. So Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Problem's not with God. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know who the problem here is? It's not the husband. It's the harlot. It's Gomer. It's Gomer who, as we read in verse 5, has played the harlot. She hath conceived them that she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For listen to what she says, "I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." She says, I'm going after the lovers of this world. I'm going after my own lovers. But I want you to notice that the truth is, in verse 8, in ignorance, she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Now understand what's happening here. He's using this woman Gomer to illustrate and demonstrate what's happening in Israel. And what Israel is doing is committing spiritual adultery against God. And she's taking all these blessings and the things God has given her, the corn and the wine and the wool and the flax and the silver and gold. And she's carrying those things to her lover Baal, the Baal worship of this world. And she is wasting them and spending them on these that she is chasing out there. Verse 8, verse 7, "She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them." That's what she's doing. She's seeking them, but she'll not find them. She will say, "I will," and then we see that she's going to return at some point. But right now, I want you to notice what she's doing is that she is out there actively committing adultery against her husband. You know, it never just affects you, does it? Even in a physical sense, it never just affects you. Notice in verse 3, again in chapter 2, "Lest I strip her naked and set her as the day it's verse 4. Notice what he's saying here. "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms." These children, this Jezreel, this Lo Ruhamah, this Lo Ammi, they are affected by what is happening in the life of their mother. So this woman, this harlot that is chasing after all the things of this world, going out after her worldly lovers and leaving her husband behind, I suppose the husband, and rightly so, it's time he just cut her loose, right? It's over. It should be done. So I guess Hosea is done with Gomer. Well, let's turn for a few minutes and talk about the husband now. And going back to chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, we read about the name of this husband. His name is Hosea. In Hebrew, that's Hoshea, which means literally salvation or deliverer. That's what it means, literally. His name is salvation. Now, he is legitimately angered. Look in chapter 2 again in verse 3. He said, what I'm going to do? He said, she better stop what she's doing in verse 2. Plead with her. She's not my wife. She's acting this way. And he says, you plead with her and beg her to stop. Verse 3, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as the wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. You remember in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel? We read about a young child that was born and was cast out into the field. And it wasn't swaddled. The child wasn't salted. The blood wasn't cleaned off of her. His navel was not cut. And the Lord came along and he said unto that child, live. That's the nativity of the nation of Israel. That's the nativity of you and I, child of God. In our natural state, we're like that stillborn child, that there was no life left in us. There was no hope for us. And the Lord came along and said, live. And if you remember what happened in there in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, you might remember. Recall that the Lord swaddled the child and the Lord raised up the child and the Lord even said that it was the time of love. He betrothed that child to himself as she grew. And verse 14 says, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. All these things that God had done for that child, all the beauty that he had displayed upon her. And then look in verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passeth by, his it was. And he goes on to talk about how in the midst of all the blessings God had given to Israel, they had gone out and committed spiritual adultery, just like this child. I got to tell you, beloved, what breaks my heart this morning is that I am Gomer. I'm Gomer. I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but I suspect you have, where that we come to meetings like this and we're on the top of the mountain. But as the brother prayed, and it was mentioned this morning already, that I got to go to work tomorrow. Okay? And all this beauty and all the things that I have sworn to God, as Peter swore to the Lord, I will never leave you, Lord. I'll die with you. Tomorrow I'll set foot on the pavement outside and I'll go to work. And the next thing you know, I'll be denying him through not maybe verbally, but through my actions. Maybe sometimes in the past I found myself, when I struggled with this, saying ugly words and thinking about telling ugly tales and things like that I shouldn't be talking about if I'm really a child of God. And I've asked myself this question often, and I ask you this question this morning. If you were to be put on trial next week for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Oh, I struggle with that because I am Gomer. I'm that adulterous spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because so often I go out, and you know, the Lord is legitimately angered with me and should chasten me in his hot displeasure, as Brother Tim has told us. But you know, the beauty, we talk about all the things that are going to happen, and the things, by the way, that were happening in the nation of Israel were affecting their children too. They were being raised in a way that they were not going to be brought up in church. You know, one of the problems that was occurring right this moment in Israel, there was a king named Uzziah and you see here that Hosea was prophesying, began his prophecy in that day. Uzziah was a king, and he was a good king. He was a king who tried to do what was right. But if you go back and you read it in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's about the 26th, 27th chapter, but we won't turn there. You can look it up. Uzziah had a problem. He got lifted up in pride. And he came into the church house, he came into the temple, and he said, you know, I'm such a good king, I think I'll take over the priest's duties. But God had said, you're not going to do that. That's not the way the law to work. And the priest withstood him to his face, and he stood up to him, and he got angry. And while he was yet speaking to the priest, the leprosy rose up in his face. He became a leper and had to live in a separate house for the rest of his reign. What a tumultuous time of turmoil in Israel. And so we read about him, who was a good king, but who finally died, and his son Jotham took over. And we're told that Jotham was a good king. But you know what happened to Jotham? Jotham never went to the temple of God. Because of what had happened with his father in that temple, Jotham, we're told, was a good king, but he never set foot in the house of the Lord. You know, how many times have you heard that tale? Daddy had trouble in church, and the kids quit going. You ever heard that? That's exactly what happens here. Well, is there really a problem with that? Well, let's just keep thinking about the next step. The son of Jotham was a king named Ahaz. And if you haven't heard the name Ahaz, you should have, because there's one place where it says, and I forget now where it is, it's in 2 Chronicles, but it's talking about all the bad things that Ahaz did, and he said, "This is that King Ahaz. That's the one you've heard about," he's saying. "That's the really bad king that you've heard about. Yes, this is that king." That'd be like somebody saying about us, you know, somebody comes down here giving a report about me or Brother Tim, and and we're up there and we've been doing great, and then all of a sudden we're going off into apostasy and doing all kind of stuff. They say, "Now, who was that again?" "Oh, that's Chris McCool." "Is it that Chris McCool?" "Yeah, it's that Chris McCool, that bad guy," you know. That's what it was like to talk about Ahaz in that day. And Ahaz did worse. He was one of the worst kings of Judah that ever existed, that ever reigned. He not only raised up high places and idols and kept the temple shut, but he sacrificed his children to Baal. So yes, there's problems. There's problems in Israel. There's problems in Judah in this day. And God is legitimately angered over what's going on. But I want you to notice about this husband, this Hosea, this husband here. In the first chapter here, in verse 10, we start to get a little glimpse into his true nature. And after laying the groundwork of being married to this harlot and having these two illegitimate children by this harlot, he says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, 'Ye are not my people,' there it shall be said unto them, 'Ye are the sons of the living God.' And then the children of Judah and Israel shall be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. They shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." You see a little mercy there, don't you? You see something about his nature that's displaying itself. Sort of reminds us, does it not, of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, where he says, "It hath been said unto me of old, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You see, the husband here is a husband who loves this harlot, who is nevertheless adulterous, nevertheless running around on him, yet he loves her. So let's look at the fact that now there's going to be a happy home. But how in the world can that be? How can that be? Well, notice in chapter 2 again in verse 14, the way it can be is because the husband is still pursuing the harlot. The husband is still loving and pursuing this woman of adultery. Notice in verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her." Now, this is where we begin to see some things that Brother Tim talked about. Notice what's going to happen. "I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope." Now, the Valley of Achor literally means the Valley of Trouble. It's the place where the man was stoned who had taken the spoil out of the city of Jericho and had brought it in and hid it in his tent, and they stoned him in the Valley of Achor. It's called the Valley of Trouble. And notice that in the very Valley of Trouble, there is hope. There is hope. You know, there's hope in chastening. You know, the worst place you can get to in your relationship with your father, or especially in your relationship with God, is where he says, "I'm going to let you alone." The saddest verse in the Bible is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17. "Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone." Oh, how sad that is. You know what, Brother Tim, I don't have to preach too much on chastening this morning, because Brother Tim has covered it. And the chastening of God is a mercy. I have been chastened by God. There's been times when I've been away from the Lord, out of the will of God. There was a time when I was so far out of the will of God, I thought I was going to die. And you know, sometimes if you stay out of the will of God, he will take you out of this world. I don't know if he would have in that situation, but I sure felt that way, Brother Michael. I went to the doctor and I said, "Doc, my head hurts, my heart hurts, my stomach hurts, I can't sleep, and I think I'm out of the will of God." And the doctor said, "Well, I can help you with all the others, but I can't help you with that last one." And he couldn't. He was right. And when I got back in the will of God, it was through the chastening of God. I'm so glad God didn't leave me alone. I'm so glad he chastened me. And that's what this husband does to his wife. And I want you to notice in verse 16 what happens. He says in verse 16, it shall be at that day, that is the day when things are restored, that thou shalt call me Ishi and shalt no more call me Baali. Ishi means my husband. Baali means my Lord. Baal is a name of those gods over there. They were calling them, bowing down to them as this great god that was distant and hateful and required the sacrifice of their children. And beloved, the Lord himself is not our Baali. The Lord is our Ishi. He is our husband. He is the one that loves us and he pursues us even when we're adulterous and spiritually leaving him and committing whoredoms in the land. And he's going to restore it. He said, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall be no more remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them, that is for the Baalites and the Baal gods with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven. I'm going to destroy them. And verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Notice the restoration of the marriage. He's going to punish the lovers, and he's going to bless the home. Okay? Praise God. And then I want you to notice one other thing that's so sweet. Remember we said that there would be, we'd come back to this names of these children. You remember their names, Jezreel, which means God is sowing, or God is sown. Lo Ruhamah, which means not no mercy, and Lo Ami, which means not my people. I want you to notice as we read, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. You notice Jezreel keeps his name. It's always the Lord that brings us back. It's always the Lord that sows us to himself. It's always the Lord that blesses us. They shall hear Jezreel, and I will sow her unto me in the earth. In other words, I'm going to establish you. When you come back to me and you forsake your idols and you come to me and you, I am your husband and not your Lord, I'm your husband, then I'll establish you in the earth and I will have mercy upon her that had not had mercy, not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, say unto your brethren, Ami, and your sisters, Ruhamah. Notice what he did. He changed the names of those illegitimate children. He dropped the curse, and he brought them to himself. They were not having mercy, now they have obtained mercy. Ruhamah. They were not my people, now they are my people. Ami. Beloved, I am Gomer. You're Gomer. We are Gomer, okay? And I want to tell you, beloved, just like if you read the seventh chapter of Romans sometime, you'll see what Paul had to say about it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, beloved, I struggle every day to not be Gomer, to not be that harlotous wife to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he loves me through it all, and he draws me back. And there's things I need to do in this life. I need to reject the things of the world. I need to reject the lovers of the world. And I need to cleave unto my husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to leave you with this, because one day we're going to be able to change our name. We're no longer going to be that harlot. We're no longer going to have those struggles. Oh, I'm tempted. I'm tried every day. I'll struggle this afternoon. I'll struggle tomorrow. I'll continue struggling. But I'll one day, the time is coming when I will not struggle anymore. And that song that we read about in Come Thou Fount, it says, oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, richly clothed in blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. And like the songwriter, I sing, come, dear Lord, no longer tarry. Take my raptured soul away. Send thine angels down to carry me to realms of endless day. You know, one day I'm going to be perfectly satisfied with myself. I'm not satisfied with myself because I'm Gomer. But one day I'll be satisfied. One day the creature within will no longer be groaning and travailing, but we will be seeing him as he is. Praise God for his grace and mercy that takes a harlot and brings her into a happy home and blesses her beyond what she deserves. Brother Michael.